It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
We've got loads to talk about this week. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Mikey. How are
you? Very well, thank you. Firstly, my next guest on the show, Mika, says, hey, to you. And he's coming up very shortly.
Yep.
Okay.
You can say hey back.
Yep. I will do that. Secondly, I spent my Saturday afternoon under the cherry blossoms in Cornwall Park.
Isn't that beautiful? It's just fantastic,
Philip,
when those cherry blossoms are blooming. I've got one right outside my kitchen window, and it's full of bees, and it just looks great. And the sad thing is that it only lasts about 2 to 3 weeks. But hey, while it's there, it looks fantastic.
Well, this particular grove in Cornwall Park was absolutely beautiful on the Saturday. And there must have been like a couple of thousand people there. And from all walks of life.
Yeah,
And it was like a great big ad for Auckland, I thought, at the time. And, you know, and the thing that I talked about this on the radio yesterday, no rubbish. Nobody left any rubbish anywhere. Everyone was like, it was amazing for the amount of people. That park was absolutely chock-a-block full. You couldn't get a park anywhere. It was full of people, and there was no rubbish anywhere. And I was so impressed with that. Oh.
Yeah, no, it's great when you've got a beautiful environment and people respect it. Unfortunately, they don't do it universally across the city. But, you know, most people are pretty good. It's just a minority of people. And, you know, I still see people throwing out their takeaway containers and their bottles and their...
Yeah, it's 1976 or something.
Yeah, you just wonder what's in their bloody head. I'm a bit hard line on people who litter like that, you know. I'd like to see us be able to take a lot more action against them. We did get. Did we ever talk about the fact we found?
Yeah, we
found
the
people
the
who,
oil dumpers.
Who
yep.
dumped the oil, and they've pleaded guilty, and they'll be sentenced this month. So you know, I can't comment on the court's decision there, but that was a pretty enormous breach of environmental care and protection. So I hope the penalty reflects that.
I was going to mention the with the cherry blossoms. Of course, you know, there's the traditional link to Asian culture, and there's a lot of Asian people there in the park. And I noticed this week it was for the first time, which I thought was amazing. The Auckland City Council sworn in your first Chinese councillor.
Yeah, Paul
that's,
Young.
That seems a little bit sort of bit late in the piece, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, considering I think that people of Asian origin make up over 20% of the country's population, it's really good that we have somebody reflecting that community
yeah, totally.
On the council now. And he got elected with a big majority. He was a couple of thousand votes ahead of everybody else. So in some ways, that's a coming of age, you know, people from across the community saying, yeah, look, we want our council, just like our parliament, to be reflective of our population. We've got three Samoan councillors on Auckland Council. We've got a Chinese councillor. What I think we're lacking is in terms of Maori councillors, and I'd really like to see. I mean, Al Filipina, his mum's Maori, but we've got the Independent Maori Statutory Board. But it's always good when you know, people get elected and they reflect the community that they serve. And you know, we're one of the most multicultural communities in the world here. 40% born overseas. And yeah, I've just been went to my first Diwali on Saturday for this season. It's about a month early, but what a great! It was out in Papatoetoe, and we're out in the sun, and they had a Kapahaka group there. They had a Chinese dragon dance. They had Indian dances, and people just sitting there enjoying the different cultures. And I thought, wow, what a great reflection on our city.
That's what it felt like in Cornwall Park on Saturday as well. I was really stoked. Let's talk about the view shafts. That's a new thing. That's a new topic to chuck around when we're talking big money topics. View shafts. Now, view shafts are the guaranteed clear way for people for certain parts of for as many people in Auckland as possible to get a nice clear view unimpeded of the volcanic cones if possible. Is that right?
Yeah. And you know,
is it a usual thing for a city to have a view shaft?
Many cities do, where they've got prominent features of their landscape that reflect the identity of their city. And I personally think it's a good idea that we can see our maunga right across our city. And, you know, the idea that this is costing us $1.4 billion, it's as if, you can't build on that space there, but you're not going to build at all.
We should explain what that means.
You'll build just down the road a bit, won't you? You know, I'm a bit cynical about the figures.
We should explain how PricewaterhouseCoopers arrived at that. That speculatory figure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they did arrive at it. It's a net loss if nobody ever builds what they were going to build. But of course they are. Look all over our city and we've got cranes everywhere and buildings going up everywhere. But do we really want to have an absence of rules so that, you know, you don't get to see what really, you know, represents actually the identity of our city? I mean, I love it when I'm driving the city and I can see, you know, Mount Eden, Mangawhao, or Manga Kia Kia One Tree Hill. I mean, you know, that's good. Do we just want to have only money matters and we just keep on putting the buildings up anywhere and everywhere? I don't think it is a net loss. I think it's a bit of a beat up myself.
Yeah, they're saying that, you know, if we didn't have to worry about this clear view in all these various places around the city, we could build up and we could make lots of money and we'd be a massive, great, big bulging with money town.
Yeah. Well, look, I just think it's not causing us
all those fat cats would be coming by. They'd be saying, monorail and all the.
I'm going down to. A company this afternoon and they're building it must be about 50 stories high and it's been architecturally designed. It won an international competition between five different international and New Zealand architectural firms. It's a residential block. I mean, you know, it'll add something pretty special to the city. But you just because, you know, you do want to move up, but you don't want to move up all over the place and you don't want to block out the views of everything that you can see. I mean, there's always a balance. You're looking for the balance between maintaining, you know, some of the important view shafts across the city without, you know, commercialising everything to the nth degree. And at the same time, you're looking at running a prosperous city. And, you know, I think we've pretty much got the balance there. And I didn't put a hell of a lot of store by PwC's comments, to tell you the truth.
Who's behind that putting that together?
I'm not too sure, to tell you the truth. I've only seen what I've seen.
Fat cats, probably. What about these? Let's talk about these big new. How much time you got, Phil? You got enough time?
Yeah, plenty of time.
The big new container cranes. They're flashing. That's a pretty funky thing. Yeah, you just come flooding down the harbour. I can't even figure out how that works.
Yeah, what an amazing
those
sight!
Massive cranes on that boat.
Yeah, I was down there to welcome the cranes in. You know, and it's
welcome it's gonna, cranes.
Yeah. But those cranes are the same size as the HSBC building, and there's three of them sitting on the deck of the ship as it sailed around North Head and came into the harbour.
How does that even work?
Gee, I'm not sure I'd like to be out on the high seas with a big swell with that sort of height there. But they're built in a Shanghai building yard. They build about 75% of all those cranes in the world. And what they do is it means that it vastly increases the capacity of Auckland Port to deal with containerisation. And they are under pressure at the moment. They are struggling a bit. They had a couple of unfortunate accidents down there, which one in particular where a guy driving a straddle carrier was killed. And, you know, your heart goes out for his workmates and his family. But they're making changes on the wharf. They can't expand their footprint, you know, more than very marginally. And that's because, you know, we don't let them.
Yep.
So they've got to make better use of the land that they've got. So they'll be taking the cars off Captain Cook Wharf and off Bledisloe Wharf and putting them in a storage building, which will be good. That'll make better use of the space out there as well. So we welcome that sort of thing.
Now, the jewel in the Auckland City Council crown, the Altia Centre, the Wowtia Centre, is going to close at the busiest time of the year for 5 months. What's going on?
It's having a facelift. You know, not that you or I need one of those. Well, we probably do, but we won't be.
I think
one.
If we're a multi-purpose venue, we've been around for that long. We probably would.
Yeah. No. So they're doing it up on the inside and on the outside. And
why over Christmas time though? Like, it's the busy time, man.
Apparently, that's not the busiest time of the year.
I stand corrected, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. But it does need an uplift. I mean, it's a great building, and I go to all sorts of functions there. I think Dame Kath Tizard opened that many, many years ago. But it'll get a facelift on the outside. They'll do it up on the inside. It'll be better at the end of it, and by February we should be back in it, I think. End of February, they tell me.
Is it? When's that, just as an aside, when's that conference centre being finished?
That's going to be late next year. That's the International Convention Centre, the Sky City one. So it's got a hotel and it's got the convention centre.
Yeah.
It is a necessary thing to have a big convention centre there.
Apparently,
and that'll bring more people into the city and clog up our roads a bit more, I guess, but it will also bring more income into the city and more income and jobs, and that's what we're looking for in the city. You know, when you look out over Auckland, it's pretty bloody amazing just how much building and construction's going on. And what I'd really like to see, you know, more and more people living in the city. So we've got 50,000, I think, living in the city centre now. So maybe we start to think about whether we close off Queen Street. Instead of it being a
concrete
road,
over the whole thing, if you ask
me. Why don't we make it a destination? You know, if you had a shared space or pedestrianised down there, you're going to have the light rail up the middle of it. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you had, you know, trees up the street and people dining on the side of the road and a place where people came and congregated?
A convivial atmosphere would be fantastic.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. I participated in Parking Day a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, Parking Day.
Parking Day. And you know, the idea of it is, hey, you know, all that space we use for parking, could we use it for other things that might make the city more interesting?
I reckon free parking.
And they had people up on High Street, and I played badminton in the middle of High Street, which I thought was quite good. I mean, High Street's another street that you'd say you got narrow
It's a bit steep for badminton.
And, it is. It was interesting to say the least. But you know, a street like that, if you look at O'Connell Street and you look at Elliott Street and you say, hey, what a great atmosphere in those places, you know, you can still drive a car very slowly down it, but it's mainly a pedestrian space and it creates a totally different mood and atmosphere. It's a place where you want to go, place where you want to pause, sit on a bench, have your lunch there, or, you know, just watch life go by. So I think you'll see some big changes for.
I've got a feeling that you're really going to Auckland's going to really come into its own this summer.
Yeah, and we're toying with the idea of whether, you know, when we have Diwali, which is I think the 20th of October, we close off the top of Queen Street and it's filled with stalls and food places, and you know, you can go and listen to the music in Aotea Square and then wander down the top of Queen Street. They had a cricket pitch there, I think, last year or the year before. And that's the sort of thing that makes a city really interesting. I've been to a lot of cities overseas where they just take streets and they say, this is Market Day Saturday. We're going to close it off to traffic and people put their stalls
cool.
out there.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know why we don't do that here.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at how we can experiment with that and how we can have more open streets. And I think that'd be a great idea.
Two things we're going to talk about next week. Here's, I'm giving you a heads up, Phil. One is the St. James, where that's at and what's happening with those people and whether that's even going to be a thing anymore. And secondly, what the council's reaction is to the report that came out this week about where people are drinking and who's going to the emergency departments and our hospitals as a result of drinking. Because it turns out it doesn't seem to be all the people that the police indicated it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for the heads up, because I'll have to go and do some homework on those.
Because there was some big licensing changes in the city a wee while ago, and it changed a whole lot of different things as far as for people that are going out, like say in the convivial atmosphere. And I think it was not for the best. But I'll file you the information as well, and we'll have a chat about it next week. Cheers.
Yeah, that sounds really good, Mikey. Hey, good to talk to you, mate.
You
look after yourself.
Thank you for golf.
Catch up with you next week.
Hooray then.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with